big questions for Green Party members to consider. Let's start on that topic. We are joined by TD for Dublin South West, Francis Noel Duffy. Francis, good morning to you.
Gavin, how are you keeping? Thanks for having me.
Not at all. Thanks very much for taking our call this morning. You are opposed to the Green Party ratifying the programme for government. Why is that?
But there's a number of issues. I think we founding principles on social protection of our environment and the fee and dividend would be a problem, and the housing strategy and the deficit narrative from Fine Gael would be a serious problem. With the fee and dividend,
this is relating to carbon tax.
Carbon tax, yeah. So we lost that fight, and the fee and dividend is progressive. Therefore, people on the lowest incomes would be paid, whether it's through social welfare or their tax credits. And that's a major problem for me, because the budget itself, if they're looking into reducing the deficit in 2021, they're going to focus on various tax rises, and that would include the carbon tax. So for me, that's one of the major problems. The housing issue with the LDA would be that their Fine Gael's proposal currently, and the current policies, is that the LDA would develop private houses on public land up to 60%. And the deficit as well, we had a briefing with the Department of Finance just a couple of weeks ago, and I suppose what they were saying was, we have we'll be able to borrow because we've got a very good credit rating at the moment, and we've built that up, and we'd be close to the Germans and the Dutch, and we're borrowing at the moment. Mm. So we'd be in a position to borrow for the next 2 years, pay our way, do the capital investments, pay the nurses and doctors and the guards. But the narrative coming from Fine Gael is that we'd be looking at trying to reduce the deficit. So the department were telling us, essentially, we can borrow, and in the next 2 to 3 years, we'd come back into a surplus, and the surplus then would be able to reduce the deficit.
Well, can I take you up on that point? Because the programme for government says that the deficit will be reduced year on year, but that's only as the economy returns to growth and employment growth is restored. So there's no commitment to trying to bridge the deficit for as long as there's a need for stimulus. And indeed, if we are to believe what Fine Gael are saying about wanting this massive July stimulus almost as soon as the government takes office, it seems that they're almost turning their face away from austerity, that they want to borrow to try and stimulate the economy, and then they're only prepared to bridge the gap when they think things are back to normal.
That's not what's written in the document. The document says different to that. So we will utilise taxation measures as well as expenditure measures to close the deficit and fund public services if required. In doing so, we'll focus on any tax rises, on those taxes, which will tax behaviours with negative externalities, such as carbon tax, sugar tax and plastics. And that's coming up in the budget 2021.
I don't know whether you've seen a Twitter thread this morning from Dan Boyle, who was obviously a veteran of the last time the Green Party were in government, and he's making the argument that the difference between now and what happened between 2008 and 10 is significant, because then there was this obsession throughout Europe and in the European institutions of making sure people balanced budgets. Now governments throughout Europe are all being told to borrow to invest to stimulate, and the European Commission is going to be coming forward with extra grants to do that. He basically says that the programme for government doesn't promote or encourage austerity. In fact, it does the opposite, because you recover, you borrow, you invest, you stimulate and you sustain, and then you only start thinking about taxes or anything else like that when a balanced budget is achieved.
That's fair enough, but that's not what Pascal and Leo have been saying. That's the narrative they've been putting out in the last 2 weeks. And it's in the programme for government. The version I have is on page 21, but it's there. So they're saying it. If it was me, I'd be saying the opposite. I'd be following what the department is saying, is that we can borrow and we'll incentivise the economy to come out the other side of it. But the fact that that's written into it concerns me.
You mentioned the carbon tax, and you sort of, I don't know whether I'm using precisely your words, but you described it as being regressive in some way. What is your concern about it?
So academics Daniel Miller and James Hansen showed in their research that the fee and dividend carbon pricing policy is the single most effective way to quickly and dramatically reduce greenhouse gas emissions. the policy that we've that was rejected by Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, which is progressive, so it allows the poor to be protected and they won't carry the burden of the tax. And what it's actually doing is that what's coming in, it protects the employers, or sorry, the earners at the higher level. So typically anybody at the top or the bottom 70% of society would be protected, and the top 30 in this case now are being protected. And on top of that, then this program for government is giving a 3% tax cut to anyone earning over 100,000. So it just seems very unfair to me on a social context, and we are a party that sits in that social progressive space, that I find that very difficult. You know, that we could have had a fee and dividend which protects the poor, whereas we're going with a different version, and it's just a red line for me.
So is that to say then that unless a carbon tax is introduced with some kind of dividend and some kind of refund to those who are most impacted by it, that you don't believe a carbon tax is fair at all? That it has to have that kind of refund measure, or else it's not sustainable in any way.
I teach in School of Architecture, and I do certain research there, and I typically follow academics and what they're saying, and then the nuances of reality in society. But I think those academics, that there's a bill in the US Congress at the moment for fee and dividend, and they argue that it's the most effective way to quickly and dramatically reduce greenhouse gas emissions. So people are paid effectively in a way to move away from fossil fuel, whether it's in your car or whether it's the heating in your house. So it's an incentive to, you'll find the price of whatever fuel it is you're buying is slowly going up, and it will over the next 10 years. But at the same time, the money, the tax that's paid in, is then paid back out either through social welfare monthly, or you get tax credits. And essentially anybody, the top or the first 70% will actually get more than they pay out.
Sorry to interrupt you. Nasa Hourigan cites that restructuring of the carbon tax in her interview with the Sunday Independent today. She says that Eamon Ryan gave too much away in the final hours, and that was the reason why she couldn't support it. Do you agree that the party leader gave away too much in those final compromises?
Look, I think, I've said this before, I think each of the three parties compromised to make this deal. So nobody's coming away with the perfect deal. It was a lengthy process. I sat in on a number of the negotiations, specifically in housing and planning. I was in the just transition one as well. We had five or six meetings on housing, and that when it went past there, it went to the deputy leaders, and then it came back to plenary with all the five groups of each negotiating teams. And if they couldn't resolve it, then it would go back up to the leaders, and they'd make a decision on that. So, you know, I'm sure on both or all three sides, you know, compromises were made. So I'm not, Eamon would have made compromises, but I'm sure Micheál and Leo did as well.
I suppose the big question that faces people who are opposing this deal within the Green Party is, what is the alternative? Because we now know, and it's been hardened by those comments from Leo Varadkar that I mentioned in the Business Post this morning. He says that there is no alternative to this. The relationship between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and some independents isn't going to work. So he sees this arrangement as being the only prospect. And if this is turned down, then there isn't really any course but to go for another election. What do you say to that?
I totally disagree. I think that... if you look at the election results, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael lost 25% of their seats. The Greens, the Sock Dems and Sinn Féin doubled their representation, and the winners, effectively, of the election will be underrepresented in the coalition that's there at the moment, and I find that difficult. So I think, if you're given a truer representation of the election, you need a block from the left, and I'll say it, it's Sinn Féin, and you need a block from the right, which is the Conservative parties, either Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil, and then the progressive parties in the middle, like Sock Dems, ourselves, the Greens, and Labour. You need to, you know, draw off that. Similar to the last government, there was you could argue it was cross-party. I know it's Fianna Fáil was supporting Fine Gael, but cross-party bills were put forward, like Catherine put forward a motion on premature babies, and that actually got passed, and Catherine was we were in opposition, and that got costed as well, and the money came out for that. So you're looking at a broader coalition that actually represents the electorate. So at the moment, it's about 50.17% of the three parties represent of the electorate, and there's 50% left, and mainly to the left parties. We have to move a fair bit right to kind of coalesce with Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Mm. I suppose whatever way the votes will go on the three parties, you'll end up with maybe 30%, well, plus 50% supporting that. So you have a minority of maybe 25% of the electorate supporting the government. If you look at the likes, if there was a case of the Greens, Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin, whether it's Sock Dems, Labour, it makes up 65% of the electorate, and so it's a broader base, and you know there's voices at the table that represent the spectrum of our political system.
Okay. You mentioned Catherine in passing there as being the author of that motion on maternity leave for premature babies. That is, of course, the party's deputy leader, Catherine Martin. As it happens, she's on the other side of this debate about the programme for government. As it also happens, you are married to her. How has that been for you when you're going up against not only her, but also going up against the party leader as well on this? Do you feel like you're in a marginalised minority?
No, I think the party is diverse, both demographically and age-wise, and there's opinions throughout. I like Depeche Mode, and Catherine likes Bob Dylan, and we've always had very robust conversations in this house about politics. We've kind of been involved in politics since 1999, I think, actually. So any other couple, we have our opinions on certain things, and the same in politics. And at this point, we're disagreeing on this one, and it's difficult. But I respect her, and she respects me.
I have to say, I'm more of a Depeche Mode man myself, so maybe on that note we will leave it. Appreciate your time this morning. Francis Noel Duffy, TD for the Green Party from Dublin South West. Thanks very much for joining us on The Record this morning.